by now that grace really is good.
Amen.
We've got two verses that we will consider today for our text. It's found in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and it's verses 21 and 22. Could you find that and stand, please? Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And I'll read these verses in your hearing, and we'll ask God's blessing on our time together as we contemplate the truth of these verses together. Reading. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Amen. Father, thank you for grace, mercy, and the blessed privileges that we have to be the recipients of all that comes from knowing and loving your Son. We ask you now, Father, to grant us grace now to concentrate, to ask you to bind Satan and give real liberty here this morning for us to be engaged by your word, by your spirit, prepare our hearts to hear from you, and then, Lord, would you help us to order our lives in accordance with your will and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. So as we begin our time today, just remember last week we were talking about the grace and works, right? Grace and works. And we looked at the role of grace and works in the process of salvation. We looked at the role of grace and works in the relationship that we have with God, right? And then we saw that what grace does for us is it helps us to understand that all sinners need the same grace. There are no different kinds of grace. It is the grace of God. All sinners, regardless of their age, their socioeconomic status, the kinds of evil things that they've been involved in, all sinners need the same grace. And we also saw that nothing they have done counts towards salvation. Right? And that ought to humble all of us. You know, we saw that your Sunday school attendance and your tithing, and you know, if you were an usher or if you were this in church before you were saved, none of that counts. Your friends got involved in these things, but as a teen or whatever, you abstained. None of that counts.
Amen.
None of that counts. For we have all been saved by what?
Grace.
Grace. Unmerited. You didn't earn it. And you did not deserve it regardless of how much you abstained. Regardless of how many times you went to church every Sunday, it didn't count.
Amen.
It didn't count. Now, thank God you did. I thank God that he used many of those things to keep us out of even more trouble.
Right.
But that didn't make me righteous.
Amen. Amen.
It didn't count toward me being right with God at all.
Amen.
We've all been saved by the same what?
Yes. Grace.
Grace.
Yes, sir.
Grace.
So, grace then rules out any... What does he say? It's a gift.
Yes.
So it's not of yourself. It's not of your own doing, so that no one can what?
Boast. Yes, sir.
It's all of God.
Amen.
All of God. And the wonderful thing is that if I could just lay hold of this, if I realize that God saved me by himself, then he'll keep me what? By himself. Because that's the next thing we looked at, right?
Come on, brother.
We looked at the fact that all believers... need the same grace for this relationship with God to be maintained. And nothing that we do can make the relationship any better.
Yes, sir.
I cannot make God love me more, because then just think of the arrogance of that. You can improve upon God's love? How can you do that? How could you even think that you can improve upon God's love? God's love is perfect.
Glory.
He loves you perfectly.
Yeah. Glory. Yes.
So how can you add to that? Neither can I do anything to destroy it.
Amen. Yes,
what can separate us? What? From the love of faith.
Yes.
God! I didn't do anything to get saved,
yes,
and I can't do anything to... Nobody can snatch me out of the Father's hand.
Yes.
Not even me.
Uh-huh. Amen.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yes.
Glory.
Because, number one, I don't want to get out of his hand.
Yeah. No.
Right?
Right.
And what it says is nobody else can come in here and get me.
Uh-huh.
I get my sheep, know my voice, I know them, and they what? Follow me. I give eternal life to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Bible.
No one can snatch them out of my hand.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for that. That's grace, and we saw that last week. We are we're children of God. And that'll never change. Grace saves us. Grace keeps us.
Mm.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for grace.
Yes.
Now today, our subject is, can grace really be that good?
Oh boy, yeah.
Can grace really be that good?
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Right? Now, as Paul often does, He in these two verses, he gives this contrast. He shows how bad we were, and then he shows how good grace is.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's all we're going to do today.
Amen.
We're going to look at the fact that sinners really are that bad,
amen,
and grace really is that good.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you say, well, Brother Willie, why do you keep hammering on this? I'm telling you. This is what brings joy.
Amen.
This is what this is what makes you want to worship, not just on Sundays.
Yes.
This makes you want to worship every day.
Yes.
When you realize how bad I was and how good God is. That's when the Bible says the Lord is what? Good.
Yeah.
When?
Oh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He is my comforter.
All the time. Yes. He's good.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And so we have to begin with, taking an honest assessment of ourselves. And so you look at verse 21, it says, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." He paints this picture of humanity. But now let's think about it. That's not the way people see themselves.
Amen.
You didn't see yourself like that before you were saved. Right?
Amen.
Be honest.
Amen.
Amen.
We were slick and cool and whatever. We had a lot of different. Even if we didn't say it about ourselves, we thought it. And we love for folks to give us names. Right?
Amen.
I haven't told y'all about some of my names. One of my names is Chili with it. that messes with you the wrong way.
Amen.
And you had yours.
You see,
the folks feeding that ego.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We didn't think of ourselves like this, right? And so, the fact is, verses 21 and 22 gives us a contrast of life before and after people experience grace. Mankind believes that in some way, inside all people is something good.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
It's just something inside folks that innately is naturally good. How many funerals you go to where they say,
"Oh yeah"?
How many?
Oh yeah.
virtually every funeral you go to, the person is where?
In heaven.
In heaven. Yeah. Regardless of how they live, right? It's in people. They don't say it, but there's something. Lord, I just want to get in some kind of way. That's the philosophy. Some kind of way I want to get in, and so people have this idea that there's something favorable or pleasing to God in themselves. Most people. Regardless of what their religion is, believe in a better afterlife. You know, they may not call it heaven, but the Mormons believe in a better afterlife. The Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, even Buddhism and Hinduism, Buddhism with reincarnation and that whole thing. They eventually want to get out of that cycle. You know, you have to reach this state of karma and this whole thing to where you don't have this tension at all in your body to where you can be really at peace, and then they believe you can go on to the better afterlife. But until then, you keep getting reincarnated, you see. And all of these religions, Seventh-day Adventists, just go right down the line. All religions virtually believe there's a better afterlife. Okay. But now, when it comes to this fact, mankind also believes that something that they do is worth something to God. You know, you hear people say, "Well, I wasn't all that bad." You know, you remember we looked at the man last week in Luke 18, the Pharisee and the tax collector, you know, that went to pray in the temple, and the Pharisee. Talked to God about all that he'd done. I tithe and I fast. Okay. And so religious or irreligious people still believe they do something that's pleasing to God. You know, they call it philanthropic, right? Uh-huh. Who was it? Somebody recently, what's the actor that had a stroke? Those, his sons or actors likewise. I can't think of his name right now. What? Douglas. What's the father's name?
Michael Douglas.
Kirk Douglas just donated several $1 million to a charity. Okay, and that's made news. Mm-hmm. And he's not the only one. That's just the one that I remember most recently. What they want to have this philanthropic. They want to have this quote good feeling. They're doing some good. Okay, but that's good to people. That doesn't count with God.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And so, we saw last week, let's turn to Luke 18 real quick. We saw last week, I just mentioned the Pharisee and the tax collector. Well, y'all know the next story mentioned there. Look at verse 18. Luke 18 and verse 18. The next story mentioned there is a very familiar story of the what? Rich young ruler, right? Verse 18. And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." Listen to this man. And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." In other words, this man says, "I've been doing good all my life. I've been faithful to all those commandments. I have not broken one of them. I've done." And so in his own mind, he has been doing merit-worthy work for God. "All I want to know from you, Jesus, is what else do I need to add to my good works to have eternal life?" You see his question?
Yes.
"I've been doing good all my life." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "Well, listen, look at it. Only one thing you need to do then. Since you're so good, you feel so good about yourself, right? One thing you still lack. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me."
Right.
You know, since you're so good, and you know your heart is so big.
Right.
But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich.
Amen.
You see, God has a way of going after the thing inside Amen. You that demonstrates you're not as good as you think.
Amen.
You think more highly of you. And that's whether you're saved or unsaved. Even as a believer, God will show you you are not where you think you
Amen.
Are.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is just a dilemma for people. In Acts 17, you remember Paul's at Athens? He's walking, talking Amen. To the, Amen. Looked around the city, they had all these idols. They wanted to make sure that they do good for every god. And so to make sure they didn't miss any god, they even had an idol for the unknown god, right? Just in case we miss one, we want to make sure we're doing good by all of them. So in case we miss one, this is for you, the unknown god. Because that's in people. They want to think they're doing something worthy before God. But now that's man's assessment of himself. What is God's assessment of humanity? In John 3:19, it says this: the light has come into the world, and the people love what?
Darkness.
The darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. You got this?
Yes.
And so God doesn't see things the way we do. Jesus came into a world of darkness where people love darkness. They love sin. And he came to bring light to their situation. But they didn't love light.
Yeah, amen.
They thought they were okay. And
amen.
Many of them thought they were good, right?
Amen.
Good religious folks. Until Jesus came to the light comes amen. To expose what? The darkness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It was in you all the time, you see. And so they didn't receive him. And so the fact is that God's standards are not almost good. God's standards aren't just you being okay. God's standards are you must be perfect.
Amen.
You must love holiness and righteousness and goodness, right? Matthew 5, therefore you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is what? Perfect. First Peter says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God's standards are holiness and perfection. Not being okay. Not as bad. I'm not as bad as this other. His standard is absolute perfection. Right? And because of that, all of humanity falls short of that standard. Right? Romans 3 says that there's none righteous, right? Not one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have gone astray. He summarizes it by saying what? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's God's assessment. That's God's assessment, right? All of humanity. Now go back to Colossians. This is the way Paul summarizes God's assessment of humanity. All of humanity is alienated from God, hostile in mind toward God, and doing evil deeds. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Now, he said, well, brother, why do we keep spending so much time here? This is to see that people really are that bad. Now, and we have to be careful. As we say, you know, you might say, well, that's them. Well, you have to remember, he says, you once were, right?
Yes.
Right into the folks at Corinth. Paul said that you were once, all of these vile, carrying out these vile acts as the rest of people do right now. So, I'm saying to you that when we see this picture of how bad we really were, then we can lay hold of the fact that grace is really that good. When I realize that I was really that bad, I can say grace is really that good. It's just the opposite of the way I was. So, when you come to verse 22, let's look at it again now. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So, let's take a look at this wonderful privilege and work of God here called reconciliation.
Amen.
This verse says, all believers were once alienated, right? But are now reconciled. We were all isolated, separated from God, strangers to the promises and these great blessings that are in Christ. We were dead, right? The Bible says in our trespasses and sin. But now we have been reconciled.
Yeah.
This word reconciliation, or the actual word reconcile, you can see it there phonetically spelled out for you. Apokatalasso. It is the word means to establish a proper, friendly, interpersonal relationship, right? A proper. Everybody has some relationship with God.
Amen.
It's just that it may not be good. For all humanity, we were enemies of God at one time.
Amen.
You got a relationship. You don't want that relationship, right?
Right.
Bible said we were children of wrath.
Amen.
But we're talking about to be reconciled is to have a good, a right, a proper interpersonal relationship with God. I'm on good standings with him, right?
Amen.
But now, here's what makes it so wonderful. When I think of where I was, right?
Mm-hmm.
How bad I was, how is it that I can have this good relationship? How can a proper, peaceful relationship be established between holy God and sinners that are alienated and hostile toward God? This is the way it works. You see it in your Bible there? Reconciliation takes place only through the death of Christ in his human body. You know, it's interesting that the verse put this in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The verse wanted you to see, you have to personalize this. Jesus became a real man.
Uh-huh.
He came to be like us.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to experience what we experience. He wanted to suffer like we suffer.
Uh-huh.
And show us, I can relate to you. That's the reason the Bible says we don't have a high priest.
Amen. Glory.
Who cannot sympathize? He can sympathize with
uh-huh.
He can sympathize when you're under stress. He can sympathize when you've been done wrong. He can sympathize when people slander you and reprove you and persecute you. He can sympathize when people don't do you right. When your family calls you. You remember your family calling you crazy?
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Hey, remember he was there speaking?
Right.
And they went, the whole family went to say he's out of his mind.
Amen. Amen.
So he understands what it's like when your family turns back. When those you've helped so much are actually the ones that are taken from you and are trying to tear you down.
Yeah.
He understands that. When they're not appreciative of anything you've done for them. He is a sympathetic high priest. So it's in his body, it's in his human body that he suffered for you and me to be reconciled to God. Because there had to be some pain. For the kind of infraction and wrong we did to God, somebody had to suffer. So he did it in his own body. He did it in his own. He took our place.
Yes, he did.
So that we could be, we could have this proper, this good interpersonal relationship with God.
Yeah.
Now, this is a statement I wrote for you and me. Listen to this. See the statement here? Justification is a legal pardon. Okay? Now, you follow this. Justification is the judge saying you're guilty, but I'm going to pardon you. That's God. That's the way God deals with you and me. You have been weighed, you have been found guilty.
Uh-huh.
And you say, yes, Lord, I am. I'm at your mercy. God says, I'm going to pardon you. But then reconciliation says, but I'm going to accept you into my family as my child. You're going to be reconciled to me. You're going to be at peace with me, right? Mm-hmm. Having been justified by what?
Faith.
Uh-huh. We now have peace with God.
Yes.
And so we need both justification and reconciliation. Uh-huh. We need to be legally pardoned, and we need to be relationally right with God. Mm-hmm. We need both. Okay? Because we are talking about a proper relationship here. Okay? We're not talking about keeping rules and laws.
Amen. Amen.
You see? We're not talking about you trying to feel good about yourself because you don't lie, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't... You ought to live holy,
right,
but you shouldn't be doing it to gain some proud, some mm-hmm. false pride about yourself. You do it because you love God.
Amen.
Okay? And so this is a real proper relationship mm-hmm. with the living God who is now our Father.
Amen.
Here's an analogy I thought about. If a judge pardons a criminal, now you got to think about just the regular courtroom, okay? A criminal is there who's committed some crime, whatever crime you want. Murder, theft, whatever. But the criminal is actually guilty. All the evidence proves that he's guilty, and he's confessed.
Mm-hmm.
The judge pardons the criminal, but he restricts his relationships with people. Now you've got to follow this.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's not fully restored.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And you know they do that sometimes, right? What do they call it? Restraining orders and, you know, these kind of things. You're not going to prison, but you can't interact with these folks.
Uh-huh.
You know how those restraining orders mm-hmm. work. You see, he's not fully restored back into society, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may not even let him have proper relationships with his family.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You're pardoned. You're not going to be punished for what you did, but you see, you're not reconciled, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see how that works?
Uh-huh.
And so, if he pardons him and he restores all relationships, then you see he is reconciled,
mm.
right?
Mm.
Because in the other example, the criminal is not going to prison. He's not going to be punished for his sin, but he's not accepted
uh-huh.
by people.
Mm.
You see
it? Mm.
He's got that enigma on him, right?
Mm.
That cloud is on wherever he goes. I'm not going to prison, but I'm just not right with people.
Uh-huh.
But when the judge says, I'm going to set you free and I'm going to expunge your record, that's nothing going to be on your record, you're free to intermingle with people, and the folks who you've offended, I've made things right with them, everything's good. Y'all all reconciled, go on and live your life.
Yeah.
See, that's reconciliation. And the judge says, Not only that, the folks you stole from me, I've already paid them off.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They don't have anything against you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see how it works? Everybody's reconciled to me. That's reconciliation. And it's the same with us and God. When he pardons us, he makes all relationships right.
Amen.
Not just with him. He says, I want you to learn to love who? One another.
Amen.
Amen.
Not
Amen.
Only that, he says, I want you to learn to love your enemy.
Mm.
Yes.
Pray for those who do you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you're at peace. They may not want to be at peace with you, but you're at peace with them.
Amen.
You see the difference?
Yes.
You're reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at peace now. You can hate me. That's how Jesus, that's how he can move through life.
Amen.
With such
Amen.
Grace. He can handle people hating him because he was at peace inside. Peace
Amen.
Is in you. When
uh-huh.
peace is in you, you can handle life's storms.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is not just Galatians 5:22-23. This has to be
real
yeah. inside
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You have to have peace in you.
Yeah.
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 Amen.
And if the Spirit of God is in you, peace is there. You just have to exercise. You
Amen.
Have to
Amen.
Take the benefit of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see? Because if you're in Christ, you're reconciled.
Amen.
Amen.
Stop living like you're not.
Well,
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do any more to make the relationship better. You don't come to church to make your relationship better with God.
Amen.
You don't give. You see? Stop waking up thinking that. I got to do this. No, don't think you got to do it to impress somebody. You've got to do it because you love Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That's the way. His love constrains me. I've got to do this because I love him.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether folks show up or not. I love him.
Glory.
See? It's different when you reconcile and you know you reconcile. You know you're at peace. You're not trying to impress folks. You're not trying to impress God. Amen. This is real freedom. And then finally, not only does he say we got reconciliation, but he tells us that we're blameless. And this is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. He says he has now reconciled in his body, in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. And so the first thing you see is that believers were reconciled with a purpose. This purpose, though, is in the future. Okay? He says that God reconciled you so that when Christ returns, you can be in this wonderful position of blamelessness. When he's going to present you before Christ. Now, this is wonderful now. Y'all got to listen to me now. You see, God is trying to get you to look beyond this life. You see, you've got to keep one eye eternally, as the old Puritans would say, and one eye on this earth. You can't just keep thinking about your problem and your issues and your savings account and how this medical plan is going to work. And those are all okay, but that's all temporary. There's a whole. This your future is way beyond that. Your future is way beyond that. And what he's saying, when all of this is over, when you've done all that, God still plans to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. After all you've done, after all your sins have been done, after all you've been forgiven, you're still going to be blameless. This is absolutely, it's almost too good to be true.
It's that good, it's that wonderful.
Holy, Hagios means to be consecrated, set apart to God. You are already holy, and you will be holy when you are there before Christ at the end, at the judgment. You'll be holy. That's the only way you can stand before Christ, is you've got to be holy. You've got to be set apart. Not only that, he says you will be blameless. You will be without any moral fault. You said, oh my, that's too good. In Christ, it's right. It's real. It's a reality. There'll be nothing against you. And then above reproach means that there'll be no accusation. Nobody can stand there and say, God, you can't let him in. He ain't worried. Satan be trying. He's accused. But he don't have no sex on him. The Master, the Savior is there. I died for him. I died for her. They're in me. They're right. They're holy. They're blameless. They're above reproach. Why? Because Jesus paid it. He paid it, and God is satisfied. Paid it. This is a glorious future. This is our future. This is the future for every believer. Every believer, you have this wonderful future. You're going to be holy, blameless, above reproach. So live like it now. Live like it now. Keep your mind clear. Keep your heart pure. Keep your faith right now. Live that way now. Because it's going to be that way then anyway. Live like you're free. Live like you're blameless. Live like you're holy. Live like you're above reproach now. Do it now. There's therefore now what? No condemnation. No! You can't go to hell. You can't be condemned.
Thank you.
Don't you put your faith in Christ?
Yeah.
It can't happen.
Yeah.
Stop trying to appease God.
Well,
this little thing and that little thing. You can't God can't love you more.
Amen.
Yeah. And he can't love you less.
Well,
he can't love you less.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
These words ought to remind you of the picture of a sacrifice.
Right? Uh-huh.
Holy. But you remember the sacrifice had to be what? Without blemish.
Yeah.
You had to bring it. And then what is he saying? You are the perfect what? Sacrifice. Jesus said, our Father does not plead with you, brother, to present what? Your body. A what? Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God. Do it. Win now. Present your body as a living sacrifice now. You will be then. Live like it now. This is our future. This is wonderful. This is the way we live. It's the way we live.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
It really is that good.
Mm.
It really is.
Yes, it is.
And it's all because of grace.
Amen.
It's that good
you,
because of grace.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Lord.
God's forgiveness is total, complete, and unconditional forever.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Total, complete, and unconditional forever. What did he say? I will remember your what? Sins no more.
Amen.
No, you just follow me on this. God did not say, I forgot your sin. He didn't say that. What did he say? I will remember no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means? I'll never bring them up.
Mm.
I know every one of them.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You see, that's what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
When we say we forgive each other, but you keep bringing it up, you haven't forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I forgot.
Yeah.
I remember it well.
Yeah.
But because I forgave you, I won't bring it up.
That's right.
As far as the what? East is from the west. So far, your sin separated from you. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
This is gospel living.
Yeah.
This is how we need to learn to forgive each other.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
And you see, you need to stop faking it.
Well,
if you're still bringing it up, you haven't forgiven.
Well.
He did not say, I forgot. He said, I will what? Remember them no more. But he chooses.
Uh-huh.
Not to bring it up.
Man.
That's forgiveness.
Yeah, that's it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We blessed.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
Regardless of the number and severity of our past sins, if you have believed in Christ, there is now no condemnation.
Uh-huh.
And there will be no condemnation in the future.
Mm.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, the life of grace is a life free of condemnation, beginning with salvation and going all the way through eternity. Grace covers all sins from birth to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Grace covers all sins from lying and covetousness to murder. Covers all sins from dishonoring your parents to idolatry. The grace of God is completely thorough.
Yes.
For where sin increased, grace increased all the more.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus paid our sin debt
with
his own life and death. The holy demands of God for our sins were completely and thoroughly met by Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus paid what?
Yeah.
It all.
Yes, he did.
And now we simply need to live for him who died for us. Live for Jesus.
Yeah.
Because of his amazing grace.
My.
Live for him.
Yes.
If you see that this grace is amazing, live for him.
Mm.
No more guilt. No more shame. No more fear. No more condemnation. No more wrath, no more punishment. Grace really is that good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
What a Savior.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What a word.
And if you're not a Christian, you can be free from condemnation too. If you're not a Christian, you can be free from guilt and shame of your sin too. If you're not a Christian, you can be free from worry about your future and where you're going. If you're not a Christian, you can be free from having to face Jesus as a judge. But you have to be saved by grace too. And you've got to believe in the same Christ too. And I pray today that you would, by faith, trust this Christ who will save you thoroughly and completely. Father, thank you for these few minutes that we have together.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord.
You know where we are.
Thank you.
You know what we're going through.
Yeah.
And you know we need you now to help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. Where I've failed to communicate clearly, Father, I pray that you would help your people to go on and lay hold of these truths. And, would you take that which was accurate and true and apply it to our hearts and minds, that we might be all the better for having assembled here today. We love you because you first loved us.
Yes.
Help us now to grow in that love. Save one for yourself.
Yeah, Lord.
Complete your work here among us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's bow together for just a few minutes and think about these truths, and then we'll see if there's any response.